All right, I am Dieter. He is still Jake. And we don't have much to talk about with the 49ers, so we're going to talk about the football that got played this weekend, which was pretty good, pretty exciting. I don't know. Yeah. I got a kick out of it. I got a kick out of the NFL, man. They got a good business going on. And let's start with the last game, Jake, which was the feel-good game. Like Commanders awesome. And Buccaneers, everyone feels like it's like, yeah, neither of these teams matter. Like, go out there, have a good time, boys. And that Jaden Daniels kid, I was talking to Larry about him yesterday on the stream, and you and I have had this conversation before. Like, there was something about him at LSU to where he was just so unaffected by the SEC. He just did whatever he wanted in college. And we obviously didn't dive deep into quarterbacks in last year's draft, but on just the sort of preliminary stuff, you're like, oh, that's the guy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. If you think about this too hard, you'll talk yourself out of it. But like, that's the guy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I was probably wrong. I was like, I was concerned he was going to get destroyed because he's, weighs what I weigh.
Yeah. But
and
like,
he like just he's, takes shots.
But this is, I was trying to think about the right word for him. And I had this in my head yesterday when I was talking about him, and I hesitated to say it. It's very easy to say so. The kid is legitimately transcendent. Like, there are unicorns out there. He's one of them. I don't know how long it lasts. But he just is so unaffected by everything and is so organized and crisp. And on top of it, he is transcendent. He's just above all of it.
And it's like there's a genuine magic. Like, he's a little like Allen Iverson, where everyone just sort of believes like anything is possible. Like, this guy's like so sick. They're just like, you know, we might actually suck. We might have Aaron McKee as you know, one of our best players, but it doesn't matter.
They're not a good football team. Like, their defense is super questionable. I mean, they have some offensive pieces, but they're still giving the ball to Austin Eckler, who's running in quicksand.
Right.
And their offensive line is very hit or miss. I would note that that's the one offensive line that won this weekend that didn't feel like they just absolutely kicked ass.
Right.
And it's a tough gig. It's a tough gig. We saw a couple of too far down the field penalties because of the RPO, which is like, I don't know what, you know, Andrew Wiley's supposed to do there.
Yeah, it's an impossible task. You're supposed to like treat it like a run play, but not be downfield. And I mean, he was like 7 yards downfield, which is like kind of tough.
Oh no, it was the correct flag, but it's like the poor guy. He's out here thinking someone's blocking, and meanwhile, it's thrown right over his head. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, it's also like they've got McLaurin, and then it's just Olamide Zaccheaus and Diami Brown, and the ghost of Zach Ertz, who's just like
still
alive
kicking ass.
And
still kicking
John Bates, who I want the 49ers to sign as their crappy veteran tight end.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know who John Bates is.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. I think he went to Boise State.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Right? He's a Bronco. So he. There's a couple of things that are going to come out of this weekend, in my opinion. One, everyone is going to be like, this is the Bills. It's the Bills year, baby. I didn't like that first quarter. Everyone's going to be high on the Bills. Everyone's going to be high on the Ravens. And that game is just going to get hyped up beyond recognition. It'll be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. But, like, is the winner of that game the AFC? Is that the real AFC championship game? It will be uttered. It will be incorrect. And then I think the conversation we're about to have, can Washington beat Detroit?
Maybe.
I think that they can. I want to see that number.
There's also a legitimate like devil magic with them where it gets to the final minutes and like they're going to get the right bounce. Like if
all season.
Like of course the doink went in. Like, they just have that and it's not a real thing that should matter, but it does. Also, Zane Gonzalez like putting over his hair 17
doink,
times.
The doink was incredible because Tirico was clearly he didn't see it coming. Because he's like, oh, it's a chip shot field goal. They got it on the left hash. Like, this is nothing. And so the call, I highly recommend people listen back, is Washington doink. Tirico, the most buttoned up announcer, had his like Washington goes to the next round, and it doinks. And Collinsworth's like, ha, ha, ha.
That's awesome. Fantastic, man. That's football, man.
Of all the bad performances this weekend, Thomas Brady again. Did you sit and watch?
I actually didn't. So he did the Packers game, right?
He watches the game like your 60-year-old dad in a recliner, where he'll just be like, "Oh yeah, oh." Like, he just that's his analysis a lot of the time.
He'll give you a whoa, too. He'll give you a whoa.
Whoa. I mean, that's fine. Like, I have no problem with the reaction. Though I will say, Jason Benetti, I was listening to the latter game, and Jason Benetti, who used to be the White Sox announcer, who might be the best announcer in all sports, is doing the Westwood One call, and he's with Mike Mayock, who's really good on the radio.
Oh, yeah. And
I love Mayock. And Mayock exclaims, which is a pretty rare thing to do on a radio broadcast. And he's like, whoa. And Benetti, I've never heard anyone do this. I think it's a brilliant announcer move. I don't know why I'm on this, but I thought it was interesting and you might want to know. Benetti goes, why did you exclaim there? Because everyone at home is thinking, why did he exclaim there? Yeah. And Benetti's like, why did you exclaim here? And then Mayock explains, like, this was a cool thing that happened, and I couldn't hold myself in. Meanwhile, all of Tom Brady's analysis is like, whoa, Kev, I don't know about that one, KV.
And honestly, you know, if we're going to do some galaxy brain stuff, part of me is like, all the stuff about Brady being an owner and not being able to go in depth, he's like, he wanted that because he actually can't, he actually can't go in depth.
Bought so he's his like, way out of being a crappy announcer.
He needed the ownership because he's like, oh, I'm actually not good at this broadcast thing. And I want to own a team anyway. And this will handcuff me in this.
Yeah.
So I just like have an excuse for being bad and people will just, you know, accept it.
Okay. Let's run through the Lions -8.5.
Against
Washington.
It's either going to be like a field goal to decide it, or the Lions are going to blow them out of the water.
So this is something that I'm thinking of bringing up as a policy. If I think that the game has a chance to be like closer, so like today would have been a great example of this. I want to take more first half lines because of that exact circumstance. Like Buffalo and the Broncos, I'm like, I like the Broncos' chances of making that interesting, but ultimately at some point Buffalo will get it and they'll just, once they get it, they pour it on, right? So it's just a question of when do they start pouring it on, if at all. So I feel like first half or even first quarter lines might be the play there, and I'd be all over the Commanders' first half, especially too, with the Lions coming off the bye, you know, that could go either way.
You try and lull them to sleep a little bit.
They got that run game. They can do long drives. Chiefs -8.5 hosting the Texans. Any thoughts on the Texans?
I kind of hate 8.5 for the Chiefs seems insane. The Texans defense is like, I know it's turnovers. But like,
well, the they Texans play a lot of like zones. They got two great corners. Aziz was out of his gourd. Will Anderson was out of his gourd. It's not as if I forget the
8.5.
8.5's heavy. 8.5's heavy.
Listen. Even if you think the Chiefs are gonna like win, the Chiefs are not a good offense, right? Like that's exactly the point. Is like, I don't care how good you think the Chiefs are, and they usually lull teams to sleep and just hang in at the end, and it's a tie game, and they get the ball, and they go, all right, well, I'm just going to buy time as Mahomes, and then I'm going to find Travis Kelce just sitting down about 6-7 yards, and then he's going to turn up the field. That's all they need to do. 8.5, I would hammer the plus on the Texans, and I'm not even – I know that's probably a trappy number, but like, they can turn the ball over. Mahomes does it. So, what do you think?
Because your internet broke up about 30 times during that. So I have no idea what you said. But 8.5 does feel rich. I think that the Texans are not. I thought Bobby Slowick called a horrendous game against the Chargers. I think the Chargers just did some Charger shit. As well coached as they are, they just that was just a comedy of errors on their end. And
yeah, they choked that away. No question.
No question. They were up six. Were they up? Yeah, they were up 6-0, and it should have been 20, right? They had it early, and Stroud couldn't move. They couldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Stroud had to get out of the offense, right, with scrambles and a fumble and all this stuff, where then they started moving the ball a little bit. And yeah, then the defense started to open up a little bit.
I guess the 8.5 line is more on the Chiefs defense.
Yeah. The Chiefs defense against Spags against Bobby Slowick is one hell of a mismatch. And listen, I think that line's going to get bet down to about 6.5 or 7 with ease, but.
And then you flip it.
I might counter on that. I think the Chiefs are also playing good football right around now. I think they've had 2 weeks off. I will say this, though. That's a good first half Texans line. That's a good first half Texans line. I want to see what that one is, if there's any juice on it. Vikings and Rams tomorrow in Arizona, because that's the world we live in. Any preliminary thoughts on Vikings-Rams before we get to 49ers here?
There's the Sam Darnold of it all.
Yeah.
So it's something where I actually really like what the Vikings defense does, and I think they can present a lot of problems, and I don't think the Rams are a good team.
No.
But I also think the Rams can catch fire, and the Vikings are an unreliable team with an unreliable quarterback, and my gut kind of leads me to the Rams, even though they're not really a good football team. They've just been there before, and I kind of trust McVay in this situation. I don't think they're a good team. I don't think they're a good team, but I lean Rams.
I'm going to go with the Vikings, and it probably will feel heavier than it will be in the scoreline. I think it's a close game that if you were to watch it, you'd think the Vikings would have won by 4 scores, right?
Yeah.
And that, I'll say this, of all, you know, save for tonight's game, the winners, every single one of them was far and away the more physical team, winning in the trenches. It was a manhandling in a lot of spots. You think about the Eagles today, they tossed around the Packers, both sides of the ball, absolute ass kicking. You think about the Texans yesterday, I mean, that was a hot mess of a game. But the Chargers couldn't match the physicality, and the Chargers brought a little bit of it. Ravens, just absolute manhandling of a Steelers team. That's their thing. That's the one thing
they
do.
That's all they have.
By the way, you know, it's been suggested, do they move on from Mike Tomlin? How about you get Mike Tomlin a quarterback and we see what happens? Just a thought. Just a wild concept. How about you don't trot out Duck Hodges or Kenny Pickett, or, you know, the ghost of Russell Wilson, and then you don't hold
quarterback more than one skill position player.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not trying to like commit a war crime on the field at every single opportunity.
God bless.
Although I do love that.
He's magnificent. You know what? It's football. At some point it is a war crime. This does not adhere to the Geneva Convention nor the Warsaw Pact. I'll say this. I think Najee Harris is going to be a free agent. That's an interesting option for the Niners.
Especially if they can't retain Mason.
Right.
Like, because the way this is going to work is, like, they can offer the RFA tag at $3 million, and that's, like, the right of first refusal. After that, it's, like, $5.5 million for the second rounder. That doesn't make any sense for a running back.
And they shouldn't do it.
And they shouldn't. But if you get in that middle round of, like, $3 to $4 million, and Mason goes and signs for $4.5 million, I would consider Najee.
I mean, it'd have to be around $6 million. It's tough. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. I love Troy Aikman. He's like, that doesn't impress me at all, because it's an average of like 56 yards per game. maybe 59, but he does a lot of the little things right. And I think that that could be a big boost, especially to knowing that you're going to have to moderate McCaffrey at some
point. They need a stable, and they don't have one. If they lose Mason, it gets pretty bleak.
Yeah, it's just Garendo who can't stay healthy. And
Debo.
And Debo. Fullback. And their fullback. Let's lean into it, Jake. You feel comfortable sharing your screen on the sickest thing I've ever seen?
Yeah, genuinely. That's where we're going with this, folks. So for those of you...
You know what? I can pull it up. I think you sent it to me. I got it.
I can. We can present here. We can share.
So screen. Jake, instead of spending time with his lovely girlfriend, or I don't know, doing his job, decided
this is my
instead
job.
Do this. I mean, I guess that's fair.
So, folks, what I did is I went through all the 49ers signings already, and then I went through what I thought should be how they handle their offseason. Their entire offseason. I have Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen at quarterback, but like that's because that's a position I need to give more thought to. Mac Jones is out there, but he'll probably be priced out. And it's like they're going to pay Brock. So at the end of the day, who cares who your backup is? I mean, it matters, but you're not going to be able to really pay for it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going spreadsheet here. But this is what I have.
Party special.
Yeah, it is. So we got Brock Purdy.
How do y'all think Rule. I felt when Jake sent this to me? And he's like, I've been working on this today. And I'm like, oh, no.
It's heinous. We got undrafted.
It's everything we stand against.
It's brutal. So I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to break down what we're looking at here. We got an undrafted free agent rookie. He's competing for your backup job. You know,
are you carrying three?
I might carry two. We'll get down to the 53 and we get down to the 53. This is the 90, folks. This isn't the 53, man. This
feels
is the
like
90.
Something we could handle right now. Given
this
everything.
Is the 90. I'll say we'll take two.
There's six color codes. Like I don't think that we can. You have six color codings and you're like, let's not talk about the 53 right now, Dieter.
I'm not well. I'm absolutely not well.
Okay. Kyle Juszczyk only fullback. That's fine. As you were saying with the running back, it's interesting, right? You would think, oh, the Niners, they've done a good job with running backs and all this. McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, who I think we're both in agreement, right, is going to stick around. Like it would be.
We'll see. We'll see. Unless somebody offers him four, you know, the Niners can decide to match that.
No one's going to do that.
I mean, listen, this was an offseason of like paying running backs, and it worked out for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So somebody might say,
no, who did it work out for? Let's be specific. It worked out for the best offensive line in football with Saquon Barkley. And they're like, imagine what Saquon Barkley could do.
Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones. I'm forgetting
Derrick
Henry.
Jones one, by the way, hasn't worked out.
He's been hurt a lot.
He's got effectively benched late in the season for fumbles, and they're playing Cam Akers over him. And that's going to be
the
case
tomorrow.
For
the most part, that's worked out.
So the two other examples you used, I think, are opportunistic, right? So you say, okay, it's so obvious now. Like, it's just one of these hindsight 2020 situations. Saquon Barkley was able to run for like 1,500 yards a year on the Giants. What the hell was he going to do behind the best offensive line in football? It's not even close. They're so much better than the Lions. It's laughable. I was so wrong. And then you think about the same thing. Josh Jacobs was awesome on the Raiders. What's he going to look like on the Packers? Like at some point, it's okay to buy a running back if you have the infrastructure to maximize the running back, because you know that you... That is the epitome of the Shanahan trees, all this stuff. They can get a high, you know, a pretty high floor. But now you got to bring in the talent to get to that high ceiling as well. So, listen, I'm not saying that you're wrong, that someone might not overpay him, or that they might overpay him, but I don't know. I have a feeling. I have a feeling like no one else is going to be in the situation where they're like, let's see what Jordan Mason can do for us. We can really unlock him. Like, what team is out here being like, you know, we're one Jordan Mason away?
I don't know. I don't know if they're saying they're one Jordan Mason away, but I think some teams could think he could help it at $3.5 million. And then,
those teams would just draft a kid in the fifth round, you know?
Yeah.
The only team I could imagine saying, hey, let's do this is like the Chargers, but those guys are sick in the head.
Yeah. This is from Kevin thinks Mason's gone. Someone's going to overbid for him. Maybe. Maybe. Dieter doesn't think so. I don't think so. By an overbid, I'm saying like $4 to $5 million. Mason had incredible, like, you know, as Jackie points out, he was leading the league. But I'm talking about before, like after contact. Like he was up there with Derrick Henry in terms of production. I think teams are going to say.
Derrick Henry would have been a good example to use.
I used Derrick Henry. Did Derrick Henry. You didn't say him. You didn't listen to him.
Well, that's par for the course.
You got a narrative, man.
By the way, you know, it's the Baltimore Ravens saying, oh, he was doing this in Tennessee. What could he do for us? Like, good teams buying running backs is a lot different than what I think is being asked here, even though I know the Niners are a shit team this year.
Also, whenever you're bored, just look up Derrick Henry's high school stats. It's awesome.
I don't have to look him up. I saw him. It was unbelievable. I saw him play. He's unbelievable. It was freakish.
Peter, can you confirm or deny that you were chugging mustard?
Dijon.
He's sweating mayo, brother.
That's the Al Golden.
That's what I got it. I got McCaffrey.
Have I ever told you the Al Golden story? Because it doesn't sound like you're going to hire him. So I was covering the University of Miami, and I dropped a ton of weight when I lived in Miami because you're just outside, and it's 90 degrees, and it's
you're just in a swamp. Yeah,
you're just living in a swamp. And I would ride my bike everywhere, and I was young and carefree and poor, and it was lovely. And I'm covering the University of Miami. I'm talking to an assistant coach, and he had known me for a minute, and so he's like, "Man, you've dropped a ton of weight." I'm like, "Oh yeah, thanks, man. You know, blah blah blah, all the same shit I just told you." And I go, "You know, it's interesting. You know, me and Al Golden have very similar like bodies, like, and yet he." Just keeps the weight on. And I see him out here. He's wearing pants and a full sweatshirt. And it's like, this dude has to sweat more than any man I've ever met. And I'm wondering how he keeps the weight on. And this assistant coach had clearly heard this before. And he looks at me. And I can't believe this is inappropriate to be telling the story. And he goes, "Al loves mayo."
Come on.
Can't unhear it. Can't unhear it. And here's the thing. Every time I've been promoting Al Golden as an option for 49ers defensive quarterback, you don't think that it pops into my head every time I say his name that he loves mayo? It's the only thing I think about. I have no opinions on his defense, only his taste in condiments. And honestly, it's a shame that he wasn't in the collegiate game as a head coach long enough to coach in the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina.
God damn. That would have been a beautiful thing.
That would have been his dream. And if he just stayed at Miami, I'm pretty sure that would have been in the cards. It's an ACC tied bowl. His team's only won about 7 to 8 games a year. It would have been perfect. So,
yeah.
The things that could have been, Jake, could have been.
Also, there's a little discussion about, Purdy's a lock. He's on this roster. I'm not even going to discuss it. It's happening.
Well, what would be the alternative there, folks? How does that work? Well, is he holding out? He ain't holding out. This contract is going to be done. Let's place a little wager. The Ides of March, famous Julius Caesar, all that. Is the contract done before or after?
This is the first day he can sign. It's like March.
It was last Monday.
No. You can't do extensions, I think, until like the new... It's until like the new league year tolls, I think.
Okay. Well, I should have done better preparation on this then.
let me get you an exact date.
We're going to pull up the league calendar. I mean, I think this is going to get done. Done.
March 12th. Is the first day, I believe. Also marks the start of free agency. Oh, well.
Do you think it gets done before free agency?
It's a really good question.
I think it does. I honestly think that this weekend's quarterback play makes this all the easier. Because there is no circumstance in which Brock Purdy can get truly lowballed anymore.
Mm. It's tough because March 15th is my mom's birthday. So it's like I don't want to be working that weekend.
Ides of March, beware the Ides of March. Well, first off, let's be very clear. All of this stuff can be pre-written and then quickly amended.
Oh, it will be. It will be.
So
okay, I'll say before. I'll join you on this cause and say, yeah, it's before. And that this thing that we've been talking about, that they get their business done early, actually comes to pass.
I think that this is just clean cut, open and shut. We're going to call it 55 or so million a year. And they structure it so that it almost has to get redone in like 2 or 3 years.
Or they could structure it where it's 60 million and I think $248 as I had it when I messaged you with my absolutely deranged.
It was deranged. That was the full, what was that? The full, the Jalen Hurts contract. Who was that?
It was more the Jordan Love contract.
Yeah. I'm going to pull up the Jalen Hurts contract real fast as you talk through the running back position.
Okay. So we're going to go back here. We got the running back position. Why are you looking at a spreadsheet? Because I'm not well and it's color coded and I spent too much time on it. We got McCaffrey. Let's pretend Mason's coming
back. By the way,
back.
Why are you looking at a spreadsheet? Would you prefer us to just verbalize all this? At least you got something to follow here.
Yeah. This is how you position by position.
Like,
and this is not based on. Well, some of it's based on contracts, and I've done that. We got Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. We got Jordan Mason. We got Isaac Arendo.
Right.
His MCL and recovers. Deebo Samuel, and then you get a late round undrafted running back.
Okay.
A cheap, terrible veteran, and I guess Israel Abanaconda is still on the roster. Moving really? To tight end. I think because they picked him up, he has another year on the deal, so he's technically he'll be in for camp.
They picked him up off of waivers.
Yes, so they get that extra deal. I wish I had a PowerPoint. I wish I had star wipes available.
No, you don't. This is easier.
I could have made it a Prezi.
Tight end. It's George Kittle and please God anybody else.
Yeah, I'm going to say they try again with tight end, but they go in the fourth round because they whiffed in the third. I'm going to say fourth round tight end, cheap, terrible veteran, Jake Tonjes. And
I cannot believe that they'd keep Jake Tonjes around. They did everything in their power to not use Jake Tonjes.
Ignore the green on that.
The guy that, frankly, they would have cut if they had any other good option. They played Braden Willis more than they played Jake Tonjes this year. And they hate Braden Willis. They cut Braden Willis.
Yeah.
Jake Tonjes doesn't exist. Also, can we talk about Mason Plyne? Mason Plyne is one of those great concept players because you look at the baseball card and you go, wow, he's big. He could really do something. And the problem is that he's really slow. And that's a pretty big problem.
He did not show much. He did not show much.
I will say I do like Harold Fannin Jr. He should have won. I forget the name of the award for the best tight end in football or in college football. He was awesome.
Which one's the Bednarik Award?
Bednarik should be linebacker.
Right.
I don't forget the name of it, but he was awesome. He was awesome. There's some very good tight ends in this class. He has the athleticism. It's a very Gerald Everett-like player, which you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong.
All right. We are switching, by the way. We are switching screens.
Dear God.
I got another one for you. It's going to be... Hold up. We got one more for you. It's going to be, well, You're ready for it.
I agree.
Oh, this is the Brock Purdy contract. I drew.
This is your Purdy contract. Okay.
So, for those of you who hated the spreadsheet, here's a palate cleanser.
Are you paying him $262 in non-prorated bonuses in 2026?
So the reason is, if you remember, Trent Williams and Packers left tackle Bakhtiari signed at the same time. And the 49ers gave Trent Williams like an extra $10,000 so he could save the top paid offensive tackle.
Right.
This would, in theory, pay Brock Purdy like $60 million a year. And then the $262 puts him over Dak Prescott by $262, which...
Why did you choose that number?
Because that's his draft number. And I think the 49ers are corny enough to do some shit like that. That's why I did it.
Wow. The fact that even dawned on you is incredible.
Because there's always some garbage like this. There's always some nonsense, some like sort of thing you can hold on to like this. Oh, you know, like he's overcome the 262, some absolute nonsense to try and make it like even more feel good.
Just to make the Branch article even better, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely deranged. So that's what I have.
I just figured out what the 262 hat that guy wears is. I thought it was some zip code.
Oh no. Is there a 262 hat?
Oh yeah, he's selling, I presume, because he has a bunch of them in the background. 262 hats in the saloon font, which, you know, not going to lie, good looking hat. If I knew what 262 meant, I thought it was some white nationalist something. So I stayed away from it.
Oh, that's good. So by the way, before we go back to the spreadsheet, because I know everyone is clamoring. They've been like, where is the spreadsheet? Where's the spreadsheet? If you don't put the spreadsheet back on.
Our boners are dying over here, Jake.
Right. I know. But like, we're going to work through this. $85 million signing bonus. Wow. $22 million fully guaranteed in the first 2 years. $25 million option bonus.
Yep.
In years 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what he gets is it's similar to Jordan Love, but he gets like $132 million practically guaranteed at signing, $107 million fully guaranteed, which is more than, you know, Love got $101 million. So it's more than Love. You get basically more than that guaranteed. And then you can get out by like year four, but really year five is like you can kind of get a clean cut there.
Yeah. I just don't like it because it doesn't have 7 years of voids like
Jalen Don't worry, there's Hurts two. Is. There's two void years.
But it's not seven. And it's I need seven.
His contract is absolutely insane.
It's my favorite thing. I just stare at it sometimes. He has a $97 million cap hit. At age 31, and then after that he has six void years.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. Okay.
So that was the Brock Purdy contract. We're going to go back to the spreadsheet so everyone can feel better about
good
where they're at.
Good. I was losing my wood.
We're back. All right. So now we're going down to receiver and offensive line.
Okay. How does this work?
For those of you who are fully torqued, get ready to get even more. We got. I am
more than four hours. Not, you need to consult a physician.
I'm not doing okay. So yeah. we got Juwan Jennings. We got Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk,
who starts the season on IR.
Yeah, we'll see. Deebo Samuel.
But you gotta get him on. Well, how would that work? I never get this right.
PUP. So PUP lets you bring them back whenever, and you don't have to do the weird IR thing.
Do the 53, yeah.
Right. I think you can. I can make this strawberry reacts. I can make this interactive. I will not.
No, he does.
But
this is precious. He's not letting any of you touch it.
So we got Jacob Cowing.
I can't believe he's showing it to us.
It's deranged. It's
let appreciated. Let me just.
It's not. I'm not okay. All right. Okay. I'm not okay.
Okay.
We got Jacob Cowan, Chris Conley, Isaiah Hodgins, who's on this team.
Who?
Suddenly.
The former Isaiah Giant? Hodgins.
That's right. He's on this team. So is Russell Gage. So
I saw Russell Gage in the locker room on cleanout day, and it's like, oh, you were here this whole time.
So those guys who? Are there. Yeah. And then I think you go, you get an undrafted rookie who doesn't matter. And then you draft like a 6th, 7th round rookie who also will not matter.
The cowing thing, he's a good punt returner. The cowing thing did not go well in year one.
No, they didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. And I don't think he showed
kept doing
much
stupid shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Trent Taylor's on this team.
And he might make the team according to your color coding.
Well, who's to say that any of these players are in, you know, are worth making the team or not worth making the team?
Nick Nash would be a great. I have some questions about his athleticism and such as the 6th round pick. I'm pretty sure he had the triple crown this year in college football. Pretty sure. So I'd draft that guy, former quarterback. They love those. I'm in on Nash.
Right.
Let's talk about that offensive line. And you know what? Let's just go right to the pink here, which is something I've said many times before. let's go right to the pink. And I'm like turning into Trump. Let's go right to the pink. I told her, go right to the pink.
God damn it.
That's my president.
And Drew Dahlman.
There we go. He's on the team. That says
he's
something.
How
much does he cost?
He costs a lot. He costs about $13 million a year.
Is he worth $13 million a year, Jake?
He's a lot better than Jake Brendel, but we'll see. I watched some Drew Dahlman tape to be like, is this actually worth it? And he's so much better than Jake Brendel.
I mean, it's not a high bar, but explain to me how much better he is than Jake Brendel.
He's just not turning into a turnstile and like Brendel. I think the problem with him, especially this year, is like his knees. Like it felt like he couldn't anchor, and he wasn't like getting out in space and really dominating in the run game. Like if you're going to be a 49ers center and you're going to be mediocre in pass protection, mm-hmm. which he was below mediocre in pass protection, you need to be able to get out in space and reach and get on the move and attack.
And to be fair, Dahlman, he used to do that.
He used to do that. They can cut or trade him after June 1st and save some money. Get out of there.
Should they do a post-June 1 designation? They have one of those spots available.
Like a pre-post-June 1?
Yeah, like they're going to do it with Hargrave, and they have another slot in which to use for that. It doesn't seem as if there's anybody who... I mean, we haven't gone down the roster.
There's plenty of players that they can post-June 1.
But how many of them provide a serious fiscal benefit?
There's a few.
Okay.
There's a few of them. But I don't know if they're actually going to pony up the cash for it, because they have, you know, Brendel for so cheap for another few years, and maybe they'll just like say Hennessy and Nugent can duke it out for the backup spot and Brendel's serviceable.
Yeah.
I just think it's not dumber. It's not a dumber spreadsheet. How
Jake,
dare
you pull up the comments when you want
how dare
to comment
you?
On them?
So someone says this spreadsheet is like Lombardi's, but a lot dumber. No,
couldn't
it's not. It's actually
be.
Brilliant. You couldn't possibly comprehend the levels that I'm operating with. You couldn't possibly the amount. The listen,
I'm letting you go.
The amount of time on Over the Cap I spent breaking this all down. And by the way, these numbers I already like put these in. I didn't have the time.
Wait
to
until
put
you
in
see
the contracts.
Scroll down. Just scroll down. Let them see how unwell you are.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So this is.
Yeah. This is when it
these
starts
are the
getting
contracts.
Unhinged.
These are the contracts. Yeah. So Drew Dahlman's cap hit. Let's scroll over. Year one. It appears I have it at $6 million.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what it is. Do you want me to keep scrolling? This is
no, I don't. I don't is, want any.
This
of
is
this.
Where we're. At. Is this good content? Are people enjoying this? Are people?
People seem to hate it, and that's fine. Honestly, that feels more of our brand than anything. Ben Bartsch starting at left guard. I'm gonna commandeer the train here. Okay, you're keeping Jalen Moore. You got Trent Williams. That makes sense. No one else on those sides matter. You need a left guard. You're gonna let Banks walk Whoever wants to sign him, go to town. Ben Bartsch is your starter. Is that the play?
Yep. Ben Bartsch is your day one starter, and then you draft a rookie in the third or fourth round. And for those asking, no, don't leave me alone. I should be shamed for this. And no, it's a problem. It's not.
This is the alternative is us just yelling this shit at each other. So
correct.
Let's go with that.
I needed a framework and how much cap room they get about $30 million of cap space going
after
into
all of this.
Yes. After all of this, they have a $30 million.
Because heaven forbid they don't get to roll over some cap space.
The year following, they are about -7, but they can roll over some of that. So it'll get tight. It'll get tight after that year.
This is a great call. It does feel different if they're able to make a significant top-of-the-market free agent signing on the lines, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember him being tied to the 49ers. He wasn't some hot shot coming in, though. So,
yeah. No, I just think Dahlman, he's the guy who's, I think, about to be 27. Like, he's on the very younger side of premium free agents you're going to be able to get. He's a guy who's from California who they evaluated in the draft and had interest in. Fits the mold of, like, what they look for in a center. He would be such a clear-cut day one fit, and that would upgrade you at that position. Now, he's not like an elite pass blocker, but he's good. Like, he's good and he's athletic and he can hold up and he can communicate. And especially if you're Brock Purdy and you want to, like, evolve this scheme a little bit, I mean, getting a new center is tough, but it's not like it's going to be a major adjustment. I just think he's a guy who's sharp, who's athletic, who's really going to elevate this team. And would it cost quite a lot more? Yes. But in year one,
his dad was a Niner for 7 fucking years.
Yeah.
He went to Stanford. He grew up in Salinas. Like,
it's just like a literal perfect hand in glove fit there. I kind of think with Brendel, you try and do a post June 1 trade, which is not going to happen. But maybe you could get a 7th for him if somebody wants, you know, if somebody's center gets hurt in training camp or OTAs and they're desperate. Like, he is affordable. Like, and he is a guy that might have a little bit left in the tank. I don't think it's out of the question, but I just think if you get Dahlman, you got Pooney, McKivitz was solid. You get Trent back healthy. You have Moore as a backup, and then you draft two rookies. That's like a pretty good group. That's like a pretty decent group
to feel
at least decent about.
I mean, you're putting a lot on McKivitz to repeat. You're putting a lot on Pooney to repeat, if not get better. There's that. McKivitz, by the way, was the best offensive lineman on this team this year.
Yeah, you could say Pooney. I think McKivitz was the steadiest. I think Pooney had higher highs. He also had lower lows. But that's why you draft. That's why you have a rookie offensive tackle in the first three rounds and a rookie interior offensive lineman in the third or fourth or maybe in the sixth if you're the fifth if you trade down.
Yeah, I love it. I think it would be great. I think that the new Hennessy would also be good options to have some battle in camp. I'm not sure I bring back Burford. It doesn't seem like they like him very much.
He's already on the roster. All right. I'll put him a.
No. It's yours. I didn't mean to upset the spreadsheet. I just was merely pointing out that I'm not sure I'd keep him around. All right. Do you want to do defense later? Let's do defense later.
Let's do defense later. This has gone on long enough. For those Maybe of you
we'll
who stick with
the
us,
star wipes.
Yeah. Who could be in here? Whoa. Giving people a panic attack. Sorry.
You're unwell, my friend.
Is this good content? You know
what really makes sure that everyone knows it's good content? Constantly asking, is this good content? Is this good right now?
I cannot wait for the few people who listen only on podcast to just hear me scroll through a spreadsheet.
Is this good content?
Defend it. Is this good? Am I doing good? Are you proud of me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's
Hey, you can't say I'm not trying. You can't say.
It has nothing to do with you. I was just gonna, you know, if you're spending some time with a lovely lady in bed and you consistently ask, "Is this working?" It ain't working.
Am I doing? Is this good?
How's that feel? Does that feel good? Is that it? Is that the spot?
No.
How about now?
Been there, buddy. Oh man. Well,
yeah, I've been in bed with a woman.
You have a child, so.
Two.
What else do you want to talk? Do you want to talk Jet Modkins?
I don't know who that is, and I refuse to acknowledge.
Jet Modkins is a real man who is interviewed for their special teams coordinator role. He is 29 years old.
Good for him.
He is the son of Vikings running back coach Curtis Modkins, and you know, he works for the Lions.
Okay.
Should we have a Jet Modkins corner going forward? Should this be a repeat?
I don't know. I didn't see this. It was brought to my attention that they fucked up with the Rooney Rule as it pertains.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because you have to interview multiple candidates if you're gonna hire. I think anyone, especially anyone. Coordinator. It might just be coordinators.
I do love that there's somebody out there being like, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are such racists. Like that thought has crossed somebody's mind, right? Even though they've done more, like they just keep getting draft picks. Half of their draft picks are because of the cause.
They're literally getting a draft pick this year for Rand Carthon.
Who's already been fired.
Correct. And D'Amico, I think it's a joint.
Yeah. Well, at a certain point they were getting so many, the NFL had to start cutting it in half. Could have made a terrible joke there.
Yeah.
And so I just love that. I also love that the last time Kyle did it, it wasn't an issue because, as you might remember, he did promote a black man into the role, Mike McDaniel. Yep. You forgot, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't forget. Certainly
I love
didn't.
Mike. I love Mike, and I look forward to when he returns because he's the best.
He is the best. He is the best. I genuinely miss talking to him because people don't get it.
People studied their U.S. history.
Well, people don't get Mike McDaniel at all, and people think he's like fake. And I'm like, no, you just don't know weird people. Like you don't know enough people who are really sarcastic and like don't.
You don't know any latchkey kids who are also geniuses at the same time. That's
exactly. I love
raised on television in the 90s.
I'll always defend Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, even when he deserves criticism.
Who do you think they hire as defensive coordinator?
I mean, we've said Ulbrich before. It would be, you know, I will say what's interesting about these. So they interviewed Saleh. They will give, obviously, Brandon Staley an interview. The one other guy they interviewed was DeShea Townsend.
Don't know DeShea Townsend.
So he was a former NFL player, played eight years with the Steelers. Yeah. Was like a fourth rounder turned special teamer. He's the Lions DBs coach and defensive pass game coordinator. So what's interesting about both of those guys is like the Lions are playing a ton of press man coverage, and they're getting pretty physical at the point of attack. Like that's a guy that you would think would come in and maybe lean in more into the man coverage stuff that has given the 49ers trouble. Like the 49ers drubbed the Lions defense, and the fact that they're like, no, that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's a good scheme over there.
That's good.
That's notable. And then with Modkins, the other Lions guy, like they've shamed the Lions for special teams. Like Kyle has gone out of the way. And maybe that's just like a due diligence thing of like, hey, let's see. They're more aggressive on special teams. They actually do fake punts. It's like, hey, maybe we consider doing that. Maybe we are more aggressive. What does he actually think? And you just test that out. And also, you know, you're going to compete with the Lions. So why not interview every single one of their coaches?
I think Eberflus would be a great hire. I think Eberflus has proven time and time again to be an exceptional defensive coordinator. That's all you're asking him to be. He's not taking over for Kyle Shanahan.
And he's not going anywhere.
He is sure as hell not going anywhere. That guy is not getting hired as a head coach again. It was incredible he got hired in the first place. I remember. I've known Flus since when he was the defensive coordinator at Mizzou. And I was stunned when they hired him. I was stunned when he got hired as the head coach, because it's like, that's not how that goes. That's not how that operates. So it is that could be his Spags. He is an outstanding defensive coordinator. I don't think he's like Spags level. Like, right. Like, I don't think he's
nobody's working, Spags level.
He's not
nobody's
working Spags. The form. He's not expanding the plane, working art, but he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. The Bears had a good defense when he was there. These are positive signs. I think that, you know, Kyle said during the presser that they had like an opportunity to really upgrade. Even if that didn't mean that he's already done the legwork on it, just looking at the slate of possibilities, like, he's right. Like, the fact that Eberflus and Sala and Ulbrich are all available, just sitting there.
Like, these guys are just career defensive coordinators who have been doing this, who know how to do this.
Sweet Lou. I mean, he's sitting there. Like,
dude, Lou Anarumo is a guy. I remember one of the first, like, real, you know, preseason. I think they opened the season against the Bengals in, was it 2019? No. It wasn't 2019.
I don't know.
It might have been 2020. 2020, 2021. They opened the season against the Bengals.
Yep.
I remember. And so I did a deep dive on Lou Anarumo defenses, and I was like, this guy's
sick. He's sick.
And
now, guess what? When you don't spend any money on defense year after year, you're going to run into some problems. That I will blame the Browns.
They also have
family.
Like two scouts on their entire. Isn't that what you told me? The Bengals have literally two scouts.
Yeah, let's make sure that's still the case. front office personnel. Yeah, they have two scouts. Here we go. Scout. We're going to search for scout.
I just think
they have they have two scouts. Christian Sarkisian and Andrew Johnson, and then they have a scouting director for college and a scouting director for pro. So they have a scouting director, and I presume one person who works for him, and then they have a other scouting director who I presume one person works for. Meanwhile, it seems as if they have multiple people working in accounts payable. You should see the amount of video directors they have, though.
Man.
This is incredible. This is it never ceases to amaze. Two scouts. Two. Like, I honestly, if you were to have had a bunch of scouts and pared it down to two, I'd get it. Like, you and I can do it. We die, but you and I could do it. If we were the two scouts, we could make it happen, right?
Oh, yeah. That's actually... Like, but that would be sick. It would be awful. It would ruin our entire lives. And
there would be not a waking moment, because you would never be able to do it all. You'd never be able to get enough. And we would have to really have like we'd have to have a crib sheet to simplify.
It's a pure numbers thing. Like, you don't have enough manpower, so you don't have enough time in the day to get to all the players.
So if you were to have had a bunch of scouts, and then you say, okay, we're in an era where we don't have to go, you know, the way that it used to work is you'd show up at a college and then you would say, hey, I'd like all the film on this guy. And then they'd go and they'd get the film for you on, you know, tape, and then you'd sit there. And you do it. Now, the same thing is still true. You still go to a college and you say, I'd like all your practice film or whatever. And they sit you down with an iPad, or they put you in front of a computer in a room, and you get to just watch all of it. But then you also get to talk to them. And so because that's somewhat of an old school way of doing it, a lot of guys still do it because they want to get a feel for the player and this and that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
You at the same time could just say, can you send me a Dropbox file, or, you know, can you just send me this film? And
you know what I would do?
Cincinnati and do this?
You know what I would do is I would get one of those Oculus headsets, and then I would just be in the third dimension watching film. Like a precog in a warm bath of milk. just with a headset on. Just looking at the worst defensive tackle you've ever seen and saying, I think there's something there, while I'm like slightly drowning. Just a little bit. Like a tub of with 2 inches of water. That's how I would do it. That's my vision. And I would be hallucinating. I would be hallucinating because I'd be dehydrated and I would not have left that tub.
Just a hairless, bald, pale man just in the milk.
Yeah.
We're in the milk now, baby.
Just having horrible visions of
I was watching the game yesterday, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know how it came across, but I saw somebody that was like doing prep with the Oculus for the game.
Oh, like, yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, I got to get that. My wife's like, we have one of those. No one uses it. And I'm like, well, no one can come upstairs when daddy's on the Oculus.
Just
the other.
Okay. There's a community sketch about that. That's absolutely incredible. Shout out Community and like bad NBC shows from a decade ago.
I'm a 36 year old man. I asked for one thing for Christmas. I asked for a football. I realized
who
didn't
are you
have
throwing the football with?
Anyone who wants to. You come around, you get the ball. And right now it's a 2 year old, and I'm just Peyton Manning her in the head.
That sounded like you're recruiting too. You come here, you're gonna get the ball.
I have a spot for you at UTEP. So I asked for the football, and what was I going to say? Oh, I'm watching a game the other day, and I'm holding the football. It's all very lame and cliche. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like getting in a 3-point stance. I feel like snapping a ball. And I got the couch behind me. And I'm snapping. I'm coming out. I was feeling it. And Lottie, a 2-year-old, walks in and just stares at me, just gut out, just like, what are you doing? And I've never felt that I haven't felt that ashamed as a father.
Okay. Well, since you shared that vulnerable moment, I will share with you a vulnerable moment.
And I kind of want to go snap the ball right now. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't fight it.
Two things. That reminds me of when we used to have, like, in our old house, we'd have a couch, you know, in the playroom or whatever, and we had, like, foam balls. And absolutely. I was a Mets fan, so I'd watch Billy Wagner. I'm a righty, but I would imitate Billy Wagner, and the couch cushion was the strike zone. And so I'd just whip it in there, throwing sliders, sidearm heaters. Just because you shared that yesterday, you know, my girlfriend was lying down on the couch, and I went to like bother her, and then I had my hands in my pockets and I slipped. And because my hands were not in my pockets, I couldn't brace, so I headbutted her in the stomach. I fell headfirst into the couch and headbutted her, and I could not look. She's like, no, it's okay. I was like, no, I'm gonna go sit alone. I have to leave. I feel so much shame. I can't properly express it.
You just like snake bit her. It's incredible.
Yeah, I hit her with my head. I fell face forward.
This has been our worst episode yet, Jake.
Yeah, Henry, we're up in the city. It's worse.
Jake just needs to plug in, baby. You know, all these problems created by modern technology, the answer is to plug into the internet.
By the way, one more thing before we get out of here. Don't There's a comment I have to address.
Fucking spreadsheet.
No, I'm not. I'm not, but somebody said, I find it very offensive to not spend money on defense. We didn't get to defense.
We didn't do defense, and it's interesting that you want to spend money there, because fundamentally, I believe that you should stay cheap on defense at all times now. You can re-sign your guys, but what you want to do is you want to keep the guys fresh.
I'll give you one name.
Fresh. Give me a name.
And it's not Jeremiah Ledbetter, though. I did sign Jeremiah Ledbetter.
So you've already given me a name.
Calais Campbell.
Yeah, motherfucker old.
He's 38.
Yeah, and he's still got it. I don't know if he wants to move all the way out here. Doesn't he have like five children?
Probably. But he cost like $3 million for the Dolphins last year, and he was incredible.
He was unbelievable. That motherfucker can hold a gap.
BJ Hill's expensive. BJ Hill's great, but he's
expensive. I love BJ Hill. He is expensive. Well,
if he doesn't retire, then go get Calais Campbell.
We'll go to the milk and we'll create a new Calais Campbell.
This is
we cannot say that we didn't warn people. This is our roots. This is who we are.
When you sign up for Dieter and Hutch, this is what you sign up for.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to cut this off before it gets any worse.
Okay, I'll give you credit for the bad joke.
There was a great joke in 30 Rock. It was where they created a game show called Homonym. And it was when you said the meaning of the word, and it was always the other one. It's one of the best small 30 Rock bits. And anytime people are working on puns or homonyms, unbelievable. Jordan Bunch equals Calais Campbell. We need to investigate. That's what we're going to do right now.
We will investigate. Goodbye, folks. I apologize. And also, you're welcome.
Dieter, I apologize. And you're welcome.
Goodbye.
We got to get like a swipe.